You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, Paulie. Poll question today is:
if I went out on the street and asked 1,000 people if they knew the following person's name and what they did for a living, Jalen Brunson or Terry McLaurin? If I asked 1,000 random people.
1,000 random people.
Not necessarily sports fans. Who is this gentleman and what does he do for a living? Hmm. His name is Terry McLaurin.
Okay.
Or his name is Jalen Brunson.
Okay. I'm going to say you're aware of Jalen Brunson because you're aware of Luka. Because the Washington Commanders, you weren't watching them. There was no reason. Even though the NFL is bigger, unless you're a fantasy person, then, maybe that's it. Maybe fantasy football that they would know Terry McLaurin over Jalen Brunson. I don't think anybody else is going to ask that question today, Paulie. Just guessing.
You're welcome.
Let's bring in Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA reporter, and he joins us on the program. I guess the Knicks are back, Tim. You just hire, a player's dad, and you could finally get somebody to sign with the Knicks. So is this great news for Jalen Brunson?
I mean, it's the absolutely Knicks? Great. Yeah, great. I think it's great news for Jalen Brunson for sure. And I do think you're oversimplifying things a little bit with Rick Brunson being hired as assistant coach. It's not like he's a nobody. It's not like he doesn't have deep connections to the Knicks. And this is part of the reason that the Knicks were always considered at least somewhat of a threat. Leon Rose, former power agent. Rick Brunson was his first client. He represented Jalen Brunson on his rookie deal. Rick Brunson's known Tom Thibodeau since Tibbs was coaching at Salem State, and Rick Brunson was at Salem High. This will be the third time that he's been on Tibbs' staff. But look, they're not getting Jalen Brunson just because of all those ties. They're not getting him just because they're saying, hey, you come here. The ball's in your hands. You are our primary playmaker. You are our starting point guard. You don't have to be in a shadow. They're getting him because they are going to put more than $100 million on the table. They are outbidding the Mavericks by a significant margin. And, especially when you have the other factors on your side, the money talks.
Why is Dallas letting him go?
Dallas is letting him go because, frankly, it got to a point, or it will get to a point since negotiations haven't started yet, where the money's just too much for the Mavs' taste. I was told they were more than comfortable going 5 years for him. He definitely was priority number one going into the offseason. They felt like a fair comp was, quote, more than Fred VanVleet money. So you're talking 22, maybe 23 a year. 5 years, 110, 115, you're not getting close. I mean, the Knicks might get at or near that point on a four-year deal. So, and I do think that part of this is Jalen Brunson, probably getting a taste of this during the playoffs. Those three games, Lucas sat. He goes for 41 against the Jazz. He goes for 31 against the Jazz. Hey, I can run a show. And that is something that the Mavericks could not offer him. They're not going to take the ball out of Lucas' hands to feature him. He fit very well next to Luka, but you can't blame a young ascending player for wanting more for himself, both financially and in terms of role.
Yeah, but the Mavs can't afford to have less talent surrounding Luka.
You're absolutely right. And look, there is no question this is a big blow to the Mavericks. They are losing the second best player from a team that just went to the Western Conference Finals. And they'll tell you, well, hey, we got Spencer Dinwiddie. We expect him to be even better this year. Tim Hardaway Jr. is coming back. But there's no spin. There's no way I can sit here and tell you this is not a significant hit to the Mavericks. And in hindsight, and frankly, even in foresight, they should have gotten the extension done with Brunson when they had a chance. If they'd have put 4 for $56 on the table last summer, he'd have signed in a heartbeat. Rick Brunson told me during the playoffs that they went to the Mavericks in January and said, hey, you put it on the table now, we'll sign that deal. The Mavericks waited until after the trade.
Wait, how much was the money for, Tim?
That was 4 years, $56 million, $55.6 million. It's the exact same contract. It was the most they could give him on an extension. It was the exact same contract Dorian Finney-Smith signed immediately after the trade deadline.
That's $50 million less than what he's going to be making.
Well, and isn't Brunson happy that yes. didn't happen at this point? But the Mavs made the calculated decision not to offer it to Brunson or Dorian Finney-Smith until after the trade deadline, because if a deal popped up for a star, they knew they were probably going to have to include one or both of those guys. That deal didn't pop up. They got Dorian Finney-Smith done. They're going to lose Jalen Brunson. So you can say that calculator risk certainly backfired.
I mentioned this yesterday. I'd been given a heads up 2 days ago to keep an eye on DeAndre Ayton and the possibility he could end up with the Nets. So I had my guys check and see what the odds were. And they were astronomical that he was going to leave Phoenix and certainly end up with the Nets. Then all of a sudden it went crazy. The second best odds of landing DeAndre Ayton behind the Phoenix Suns are the Nets. How are they going to pull this off if that were to happen? Is Ben Simmons expendable?
I mean, I would certainly say that he's expendable. I think the question there is that a risk that the Suns are willing to take, given the fact this guy just sat out a year? He's coming off of back surgery. I don't know, though, that there's a clear landing spot for DeAndre Ayton right now. People thought when the Pistons created that cap space that, hey, that's it. You know, the Pistons are going to put that max offer sheet on the table. That's not happening. The Pistons have done, you know, they got Duren, the center, via the Knicks in the draft. They just used $19 million to help the Knicks clear that cap space, taking Nerlens Noel, taking Alec Burks. They don't have max cap space anymore. Certainly the Nets have been mentioned as a potential sign and trade destination. Mm-hmm. I've heard rumblings about the Raptors. I've heard rumblings about the Spurs, but you know, I can't sit here and tell you that I have a good feel on where DeAndre Ayton is going. I'm not certain that he does. And you know, maybe the answer is the Suns re-sign him, and basically he's back on he's on the trade market as soon as he's eligible to be. The one thing I can't imagine is the Suns losing him for absolutely nothing. That would be really bad business.
We're talking to Tim McMahon. He covers the NBA for ESPN. I think it feels like we moved on from Kyrie Irving because he opted back in. And I thought, no, like this is still an issue. It feels like, Tim, like what they didn't sign him to the max. He's back for a year, maybe begrudgingly. You got Durant, who's there for 4 years. I don't know what your thoughts on Kyrie, that he's back for a year. Is this a story that we move on from right now?
Well, I just appreciate Kyrie daring to go in a different direction by not volunteering to take a $30 million pay cut. I mean, what a revolutionary this guy is. No, honestly, him opting in, I think probably increases the likelihood that, that he could get traded, because they sign and trade where he's signing a multi-year contract at max money. Ooh, boy, that's a big commitment from another team. Now, the fact that he is an expiring contract that you can, the talent is obvious. Nobody ever has questioned Kyrie Irving's talent, but the desire to commit to him, given the lack of dependability, is frightening. And with him being on essentially a one-year deal now, that isn't a factor. Certainly, I think the Nets have made it clear that they want to know part of a long-term commitment. So I certainly would not be surprising if he ends up being moved at some point. I don't know if it's this summer or before the deadline, but no, that story's not over.
Felt like the Lakers were desperate. Are the Lakers desperate?
I would say when you have LeBron James, who is still playing at the level that he has, and knowing how much pressure he puts on a franchise to go all in for competing for championships, yes, you're desperate. again, you talk about difficult decisions. Oh, Russell Westbrook wants to make $47 million this year. Do you think anybody else is giving him that kind of money? Of course he's gonna opt in. Yeah. And that's not the best route for the Lakers. We'll see if he ends the season in LA. They've got to figure out how to make that work. I did laugh when Darvin Ham, during his opening press conference, says we want Russ to get back to playing championship caliber defense. I'm trying to find maybe like his high school film. I don't know when the last time he played championship caliber defense was.
Well, you're a little snarky here, Tim. I like it. You know, there are people who, with the Lakers, said that Russ refused to play defense last year. Like, he gave no effort whatsoever. And you're bringing in a hard-nosed guy in Darvin Ham. I know he said all the nice things, but it felt like you got to say nice things before we ship you out of town. I don't know what you can do. It feels like you're stuck with him, at least this upcoming season.
Yeah, or you have to say nice things because you know you have to try to make this work, because that $47 million contract for a guy that, you know, if Russ is a free agent, people would be interested in him at a, you know, at mid-level type of money, I think. It's just going to be so difficult to move him unless it's a buyout situation. So you're Darvin Ham. You realize, hey, it's very likely this guy's on the roster. I really need to try to make this work. So, you know, the way to do that's not going in and you know, being disrespectful and calling him out. But he called him out in a very polite, encouraging manner, you know, by emphasizing the defense. Because you say, you know, people in L.A. last year said that Russ didn't even try on defense. Well, guess what? You can find people who said that in Washington and in Houston and in Oklahoma City. I mean, there's a little bit of a trend here.
John Wall to the Clippers. It feels like, given everything that's happened, that was one of those, oh, and John Wall went to the Clippers. I like it. If there's not that much risk, and maybe he has pride that he wants to prove that he can play championship, you know, style basketball here. How does this work with the Clippers?
Yeah, I like it. And again, similar to Russ, nobody wanted to pay him $47 million. But for that tax, the taxpayer mid-level, about $6.5 million, I think it's very good value. He didn't play much for the Rockets, obviously, but in those 40 games, he proved he can still produce. Now, he's going to come into L.A., and obviously that's Kawhi Leonard's team, and then it's Paul George. What they've really been missing is a playmaker, is kind of a table setter. John Wall, throughout his career, has been one of the best passers in the NBA. And, you know, I think that's the attraction for the Clippers. You come in, you get a pure point guard. Now, you know, he's also used to being a guy who, you know, is a primary scorer. He's going to clearly have to take a step back as far as that goes, but he is as healthy as a guy who, you know, is his age with his injury history can be. I think the fact he sat out all of last year can only be a benefit to him. You know, he was working out, gave him a chance to really focus on his body. And again, for $6.5 million, I think it can be a really good value signing for a Clippers team that rightfully expects to be contenders this year.
Any changes with the Warriors?
The question is, how many of their guys can they keep? Kevon Looney is the priority. There is significant interest in Gary Payton II around the league. I think Otto Porter Jr., there's going to be interest in him around. And the thing is, we're talking about guys who...
And Wiggins?
Looney, Wiggins, I think it's fairly likely they get an extension done. He'll certainly be back on the team. But, you know, with the guys, their key... complimentary players, the Loonies, the Paytons, the Porters, every dollar they pay them, you multiply it by seven because they're so deep into the luxury tax. So, you know, they make a lot of money. Those championship runs generate a lot of revenue, but the most expensive payroll in basketball history, the price is only going to go up.
The craziest thing that could happen in free agency is what?
The craziest thing that could happen in free agency. Again,
is there a rumor out there that you'd go, wow?
There's not one just off the top of my head right now, but I do think that the DeAndre Ayton situation that we discussed is by far the biggest wild card. And if, you know, this is a guy who was the number one overall pick. I think if you line him up next, you know, the last two decades worth of number one overall picks, he's somewhere in the middle. He's a huge piece of a team that went to the finals, followed up with having the best record in the league. And it doesn't seem like the Suns are real interested in having him back. So that's a very unique situation. And he's young, coming off his rookie deal. So if he lands somewhere else, I do think he's a guy, you know, if it's a Toronto, for example, I think he's a guy that can really push Toronto into being a legitimate threat into the Eastern Conference.
What about Zion? Any issues of the Pelicans? Is there a holdup? And what is the holdup for signing him to the max?
Yeah, I think at this point it's just about what's the language in the contract. You know, you go back, for example, with Joel Embiid coming off the rookie extension. That's obviously the comp in terms of the talent is unquestionable, but you're worried about how many games he's missed, the durability. So what's, you know, what kind of protection can the Pelicans get inserted into the contract if he misses a lot of games? And look, you know, Kristaps Porzingis was another example. The Mavs maxed him out with no injury protection whatsoever. So that's really the only potential holdup. Zion's made it clear that he's happy to be in New Orleans, especially after the Pelicans made the moves they did last season. The Pelicans clearly want to keep him. So, you know, we'll see what the language in the contract ends up looking like.
Always great to talk to you, Tim. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you having me, Dan.
That's Tim McMahon, ESPN NBA reporter. Todd in North Carolina joins us. Todd, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Good to talk to you again. First, I have to state the obvious disclaimer, being a Tar Heel fan, but I'm just, I can pull for Duke players like Brandon Ingram being from Kinston, but is there in your consciousness been anybody like Kyrie Irving that's been as much of a knucklehead and sort of pot stirrer that you can recall?
Well, you had players that did things. Dennis Rodman did a lot of things. But for the most part, he was there for you. I mean, he had some stops along the way. When he was in Detroit, and that's before he became Dennis Rodman, a brand. But with the Bulls, for the most part, he was there. He did have the time when he asked for a few days off to go to Las Vegas during the season with Phil Jackson. But he seemed more calculated with the things that he was doing. Kyrie, I don't know. Like, he'll have these random quotes. Like, you think he's Gandhi, that you know, or he's Mr. Miyagi. I don't know. He's extremely talented. We say the same things about Kyrie. Oh, nobody's going to argue his talent. No one ever argues his talent. But we argue everything else about him. Is he a good teammate? He's not an alpha. Does he want to be a leader? Can he be a leader? How much does he love playing? It almost feels like the game. There's certain athletes I've been around. I didn't know if they loved the sport they played, but they were so good at the sport they played, if that makes sense to you. I don't know if Kyrie loves the game. I always thought that he did, but he may just love the attention that the game brings him. Yes, Eden.
Yeah, I think he loves the game. I don't think he loves the job.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Okay. I mean, everybody likes the money, right? Everybody wants to make a gajillion dollars playing a game. But I think he loves the game. I think he loves the craft, right? Because he'll refer to himself as an artist, as which I could see. But I don't know that he loves the job of being in the NBA.
Well, he doesn't like that the media makes money off of the players.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to understand that the media is the reason why he's getting $37 million. And John Wall's getting $47 million. And Russell Westbrook is getting $47 million because of the TV deals. Like, there's certain things you just want to tap him on the shoulder and say, dude, you get it? Like, because of the media? Because of the money that's spent? The TV deals? That's why you get that money. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling. Only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. you know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
More phone calls. People fired up over this Freddie Freeman situation. You know, if the consolation prize is you're going to make $165 million and you get to play for the Dodgers, I don't know how many people are going to feel sorry for you. I think that there's some confusion here. You're trying to figure out what exactly happened. When did it happen? And I think when Freddie Freeman went back to Atlanta, he probably talked to some people in the Braves organization, including Chipper Jones, and probably said, wait, you guys were willing to pay how much? This wasn't what I was told, and then you decide you're going to fire your agents. T.J. Quinn, thank goodness our business has T.J. Quinn, ESPN investigative reporter, senior writer, and he's been covering the Brittany Griner situation in Russia. I don't even know if you can call it a situation. It feels like it's more than that. But let's go back here, T.J., to how many years has Brittany Griner been playing basketball in Russia?
Several. You got to hit me with the one I didn't have right at my fingertips. It's been a number of years, and she's one of many players from the WNBA who've been making sometimes four or five times their WNBA income playing for teams over there.
She was making about $1 million a year, I think. At what point did this become, I guess she was going through security? Well, walk me through what happened and how Brittany Griner ended up in the situation where she is.
Yeah, I think people forget that the invasion of Ukraine hadn't started yet. It was February 17th. And yes, people knew that there were, you know, some dangerous things going on in that part of the world. She and other players who've been going over there have been doing so under the protection of these oligarchs who own these teams. I mean, it's like going into a bad neighborhood with a gang or a mob boss saying, hey, she's okay. You knew you had certain protections. Well, as soon as the war starts and all the sanctions are put into place against those oligarchs, that protection's gone. So, but she was walking through on February 17th and she gets stopped. They say that she had vape cartridges with hashish oil in them. Her side actually hasn't said anything publicly, and we haven't heard her make an actual plea in court. But, you know, it took a good 3 weeks for news to even get out in the United States that she'd been in captivity.
Is the charge drug trafficking?
The charge is, trying to smuggle drugs into the country. They've got very strong drug laws. To them, it's a big cultural issue. And she is facing under this up to 10 years. But you really can't look at it as a regular legal proceeding. She is a chit in a negotiation right now. They will go through the pantomime of making this a real legal proceeding. It is not. I've spoken to, I don't know how many experts, people at the U.S. State Department. The fact is Russia does this. It's all negotiation. It's transactional. This is not about justice. So in the end, it as far as Russia goes, it doesn't matter if she did it or not. They're going to deal for her. If she happened to do what they said, fine. If she didn't, whatever. They'll come up with some evidence that, you know, during this trial that's about to start, they will have some kind of evidence. It could be completely made up. It could be absolutely valid, but it doesn't matter. It's a negotiation.
Does she have representation on the ground with her in Russia?
She's got her own lawyers, and the people around her that I've talked to and at the State Department say they're legit. They're good. You don't want a public defender in Russia. A public defender is seen as an extension of the prosecution. They work with the prosecution.
Wow.
And it's, you know, it's an old play for them to, you know, when you want something, you plant drugs on somebody or you make an accusation about drugs. The fact that she is a 6'9" black lesbian is not something lost on the Russian public or government. She's a powerful cultural symbol, and they recognize that. So, you know, could she face 10 years? She'll probably get that sentence. Everyone is expecting her to be convicted and sentenced, but they also see it as it's just a negotiating tool.
How do people get involved? Who can get involved? You know, the commissioner can't do anything. Like, it's just the White House?
It comes down entirely to the White House and the State Department. Are they willing to cut a deal? Russia has already floated it. I mean, this was pretty interesting how open they were about it. There was a story in TASS, and those of us who grew up, you and me who grew up in the Cold War, remember TASS well. It's the state news agency. Anything they say, it's because the Kremlin said this is okay. They put out a story in May saying that it had been discussed possible trade for her and a Russian man named Viktor Boot, who's in a U.S. prison for financing terrorism. They've tried to get Boot out before. Somebody wants him to come home to Russia. But once TASS put out there, it was very clear, okay, this is a deal they want. And now it's up to what's the U.S. willing to do? What kind of deal will they cut? And there's a big split in the government about it. You've got people in the State Department who say, look, the incentive to kidnap an American is already there. You're not going to create more incentive. Just cut the deal, bring her home. But there are others saying, well, no, it's going to put other Americans at risk. If they know we're going to make a deal that easily, other people are going to grab her. The other complication is that there's another American there, Paul Whelan, who's been there for 3 years. He was convicted in what the U.S. calls a ridiculous show trial for espionage. And the Biden administration knows, and the Kremlin surely knows, politically, you can't bring one of them home and not the other. So from what I understand, they're trying to get a deal to get both of them.
Her detention's been extended another 6 months to December 20th. What reason?
Because they can. Wow. You know, in this case, it's not that different from U.S. law that you can hold someone in a pretrial detention period for a long time. And they, under Russian law, can hold her for a year under extraordinary circumstances. They can extend that to 18 months without taking her to trial. They've already set the date. But again, the numbers don't mean anything. She is there completely at the whim of Putin's government.
Have you tried to go over?
Since this started?
Yeah.
Not a chance. No. I mean, the State Department has a do not travel order. I've been over there before. It's a pretty intense place, especially if you're a journalist. I had someone, this is 4 years ago, I had someone in U.S. intelligence say, look, they think all our reporters are spies because all their reporters are spies. And if you go over there, you will be surveilled. Don't try to detect it. Don't try to avoid it. They'll treat that as tradecraft, and then they'll treat you like a spy. But right now, it'd be a very bad idea for anybody to go over there.
How close have you come to speaking to Brittany Griner?
Not even remotely. No, nobody in her family has either. I mean, saw that news last week that they had finally set up a phone call with her wife, Sherelle, and the State Department fell on its sword and said, no, that call didn't happen because we didn't have somebody manning the office where that needed to happen. From what I'm told, it still hasn't happened. They've been exchanging letters. Her lawyers bring correspondence to and from her, knowing that it is every bit of it is monitored. But they're able to see her a couple times a week. So the people around here, her are comfortable. Okay, we know, you know, she's okay.
She's being held in detention. Is this house detention or is she in a prison?
No, she's in a jail. She She's requested house detention a number of times. But if you look at it in terms of a negotiation, they're not going to do anything to make her comfortable. Anything that I get from people around her and the State Department, I've got to take with a grain of salt. I mean, they don't want to inflame this. They've got this balance of they want to keep attention on her because it's an American in custody, but they don't want to put so much on her that it makes her more valuable as a chit to Russia. You know, she is a pawn, essentially. So, you know, the correspondence is minimal, but it's out, you know, and she's in a jail, and it's not, from what I've heard of Russian jails, they're not a fun place to be, but the reports are that she's okay considering.
I'm guessing other WNBA players not going to be going back to Russia anytime soon.
For a couple reasons. One, I mean, why would you after this? But also the money's probably not going to be there because all these oligarchs who were willing to spend, you know, millions upon millions to have these teams. I mean, there have been suggestions that they use these teams for money laundering, but also as these vanity pieces. They have these teams. They want them to do well. They're willing to spend money way beyond the market. They're not going to have the assets that they did because they've been frozen internationally. You know, but you do have to look at other countries as well, like Turkey, you know, places where you've got, you know, questionable governments, just like the conversation we're having about, you know, Saudi Arabia and men's golf right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
If this is a different female athlete, is the coverage different? If let's say this was a a soccer player, tennis player,
It's Mia Hamm, if it's Serena Williams, if it's Simone Biles, is it different? Yeah, I mean, I've wondered that as well. It's probably, you know, people keep making the comparison, what if this were LeBron James, what if this were Tom Brady? It's not. I mean, she is great in her sport, unquestionably. The WNBA doesn't have the audience in this country that those sports do. But there are female athletes who rise to that level. Yeah, if it was Serena Williams, it's a much bigger deal. And then you can't help, you know, but, you know, see some kind of huge public reaction to it. You know, you can understand her supporters saying, well, wait a second, why are we making a bigger deal out of this? There are a number of reasons. And I don't want to reveal anything she hasn't published yet, but like there's an academic who's an expert in this who has talked about this concept of deservingness when somebody is over there and what that has to do with their reaction. That if the American public feels like somebody is there because it was their choice, if they don't, you know, if somebody who's utterly uncontroversial, they feel differently, more sympathetic. Than someone like Brittany Griner. You know, people are aware that she protested the anthem. You've got an unbelievably divided political climate in this country. And so there's half the country right there saying, and I see it in my Twitter feed anytime there's any news about her, let her stay there. Let her, you know, if she wants to protest. So you don't have the kind of general consensus behind her I think you would if it were another athlete. But her supporters say, this is ridiculous. This is an American who's over there. With a system that is, you know, well known to be corrupt, that frames people. Why aren't we making a bigger deal about this? I think they have a point.
What's the worst case scenario?
Worst case is they keep her there a long time. And that can happen. Like Paul Whelan has been there for more than 3 years. Trevor Reed, a former Marine who was just released in May, he'd been there more than 2 years. For what was, I mean, every account of it was they convicted him for, they said he assaulted a police officer. The evidence they brought was absolutely ridiculous. But it still took more than 2 years to bring him home. And that wasn't until his parents said that he had untreated tuberculosis and had been severely injured. And the government, our government said, we've got to do something to get him out. And they traded a guy who you know, we'd had in jail. It could be years if they decide that it's years.
TJ, thank you. We appreciate you covering it. And thanks for joining us.
Anytime. Thanks, Dan.
That's TJ Quinn, ESPN investigative reporter, senior writer. I remember TJ covering the steroid era, Major League Baseball, Barry Bonds and company. This one's trickier because you can't really report on it because you can't talk to anybody, can't go there. And who's telling you the truth? What kind of truth can you get? What kind of role does the government play? You're going to be trading one for one. Very tricky. Very tricky. Couple more phone calls. Back to the Freddie Freeman conversation. We'll take a break. We'll come back, get your phone calls. Bill Plaschke will join us, the great columnist for the LA Times. Just went into the California Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame. So he'll join us. We'll talk about not only Freddie Freeman's situation, but also the Lakers. How desperate are they, were they, that they were trying to bring in Kyrie Irving? Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite. You reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. Seton, you have another poll question for the final hour?
Yeah, we put up there, who messed this up, Freddie Freeman or his agent? Only 54% say his agent.
Let's bring in Bill Plaschke, the celebrated columnist for the LA Times, ESPN Around the Horn contributor. We're finding Freddie Freeman is having second thoughts, apparently, about being a Dodger, going back to Atlanta, and then I guess he's representing himself. He's fired his agents. Bill joins us now. How's his playing locally, Bill?
This is a great time to be in L.A., Dan. Freddie Freeman doesn't want to be here, and Russell Westbrook does. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful vibes. Wonderful vibes we got going on here.
Yeah, but you want Freddie Freeman. You probably don't want
him. Yes, that's so weird. The Freeman thing is so weird. His teammates, he's playing tremendously. He's one of their two best players, all-star, great hitter. But he won't stop crying. His teammates are getting a little irritated. The whole Dodger organization is getting a little irritated with it. Freddie, you know, you made your bed. You signed for the extra year out here. You made the $25 million more. You know, kind of deal with it. I mean, it's a little unsettling to see him so upset about not being with the Braves when he's so embraced in L.A. People in L.A. are embracing him, but they're wondering how bad does he want to be here. But, of course, he's playing well, so nobody's really complaining yet. But it's kind of irritating the whole thing is shaken down.
Okay, what kind of response do you think he gets tomorrow night at home?
I think because his first name is so easy to chant, I think it's still going to be Freddie, Freddie, Freddie. I think fans will go even out of their way to let him know how welcome he is here. And, you know, maybe they'll get a few tears out of him for that. I don't know. But he's got to just stop crying. He just has to stop crying. I mean, I've got nothing against tears, but enough is enough. You've moved on. And this could be a concern in the playoffs. I mean, how bad is it going to be when they play the Braves in the playoffs? Is he going to be emotionally invested in that? So, and also, to answer your poll question, it's Freddie Freeman's fault. He's got the last say. I mean, he controls. He signs the paper. He signs the pen. You know, he signs the contract. He wanted the extra year. He got the extra year. He got the extra $22 million.
But also, Bill, I wonder, though, the timeline on this, that if your agent's, you know, playing hardball with the Braves and saying, hey, I want a deal, I want an answer in an hour from now, and then they decide that they're going to move on, I wonder if Freddie thought, hey, whatever happens, make sure that we still get the deal that I stay in Atlanta. It feels like there's a disconnect here, though, between agent and player.
Yeah, I don't know. I just still feel like Freddie's a boss. I mean, the players are the boss. You've had Jared Weaver came out here, remember, years ago and told Scott Boras to stick it, and he was going to stay in the Angels no matter what. If Freddie had to know that he had to have relayed to them somehow, give me the last word. He had to be this emotionally invested. I'm just finding it hard to believe that. And then there's some feeling that, what does he want it both ways? Maybe he's being so emotional back in Atlanta because he didn't want to get booed. Because really, reasonably, a player would get booed right in that situation, having played so many years there and then walked out on the team. So it's just, the whole thing is weird, and it strikes the Dodgers as unsettling, and they just hope the tears dry up and he just keeps playing.
Are the Angels the most interesting average team in baseball?
Did you see the Mike Trout pitch tip video? Oh, goodness, yes. The Angels are they're unbelievable. They're in the shadows out here, yet they have the two greatest players arguably in the league, and they're causing the most ruckus in the league. And they've been through, I think they're on their third or fourth manager this year already with the interims and all the fighting and everything. Yes, they are. And the sunflower seeds was unbelievable. It was an unbelievable throw. I mean, I just, I that was the throw of the year in Southern California. But everything he's happened in the elbow injury, yes, they're the most interesting shadow team. People in L.A. still don't even notice him. Mike Trout would still walk in a coffee shop and nobody would know who he was up here.
Is Ohtani a big deal locally?
You know, not really. The Angels are bigger nationally than they are locally. And Ohtani, not really, because he doesn't really connect with a lot of the fan base here. And, you know, and his interviews are, he doesn't do a lot of interviews and he doesn't get around much. So, no, not really. I mean, he's not. There's five Dodgers that are bigger deals than him than Ohtani, at least five Dodgers, if not 10 Dodgers, bigger deals than Ohtani.
He's Bill Plaschke, L.A. Times sports columnist, contributor to Around the Horn. Did you go into the California Sports Hall of Fame?
Yes, I was humbled and honored to be inducted into the California Sports Hall of Fame. It was a cool event. It was, yeah, and especially all of California, but I'm very – I don't know how they picked me. They must have run out of they ran out of athletes. It's a big state. It's hard to run out of athletes, but they must have done so. I don't know how they.
I think alphabetically they just got to the letter P.
They got to the letter P. I think that was my thing. There were some people at the banquet who didn't even know who I was. So yeah.
The headline in your column on the Lakers acquiring Kyrie Irving would be super weird, super dumb. Felt super desperate too. Now that they didn't get him, how do you think Laker fans should feel?
Well, they should feel the fact that Westbrook is staying. We knew he was staying, but the fact that he just reminded us of this, $47 million and singing, "You Can't Break My Soul." I'm glad we can't break his soul for $47 million freaking dollars. That's a comfort. Laker fans they're in trouble. They've thrown their hands up. Kyrie wasn't going to help. He was going to make it worse. But it's still bad. They've got nowhere to turn. I mean, their best option right now is to try to get Gary Payton. But knowing their luck, they'll get the Gary Payton Sr.
again.
And not the son. Yeah. There is no – this was the final – there needed to be a line in the story about Russell Westbrook's agreeing to stay for $47 million, thus dashing the Lakers' playoff hopes for next season.
How much hope is there for the Clippers?
Huge hope. I'm on the verge, but I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to come right to the edge of saying, of predicting them to be in the NBA Finals next year. If Kawhi Leonard's as healthy as we think he's going to be, they signed John Wall, whose body should be in good shape after he hadn't played in 20 months. They got Norman Powell. They re-signed Rocco. They've got a heck of a team. They've got to be, in my mind, considered one of the favorites in the West next year, if not the favorite. I know everybody's going to still hop on Golden State. I'm back in the Clippers. They really look good.
Any drama with your football teams?
No, except for, you know, Sean McVay had the wild wedding video and all that stuff. But no, there's no I guess they're trying to think about signing OBJ in the middle of the season, but that's not going to happen yet. No, they're deadly. They're both very good and very dull and very that's the thing. The two quarterbacks in town you think would be LA swashbuckling quarterbacks. They're the quietest guys on the planet. We never hear a word from them. We never hear a word from either of the teams. So they've been. It's almost like the Rams didn't win the Super Bowl. It's so weird. I was talking to one of their officials. It hasn't really sunk in yet that they're Super Bowl champions. Because you get swallowed up out here in all the drama of the Lakers and the drama of the Dodgers and all that stuff. So maybe when training camp opens, there'll be some buzz again. But there's no buzz at all right now.
Yeah, I wondered about that. That you're right. That you could somehow get lost as a Super Bowl winning team, and it's probably only in that market.
Only in that market, because the NFL is not the number one sport here. It's not the number two. It's the number three sport. I mean, it's the number one sport, but the teams are ranked probably third and fifth, or it's third and sixth. The Rams are only third behind the Lakers and Dodgers. So, yeah, I was talking to one of their officials the other day, and it's like, did this really happen? Did last January and February really happen? They won a Super Bowl on their home field. All kinds of history, and it's like it never existed. Yeah, it's weird. It is, and if it was Lakers or Dodgers, the party would still be going on. It would be continuing. So the Rams know they have them. You saw the size of their parade. They have a lot of work to do, and they know it. They know they have a lot, but they're on the right track. But they have a lot. They have some work to do.
Congrats on the honor, Bill. Always a pleasure talking to you.
I appreciate it. I'm honored to be on here, and we'll see if Freddie Freeman will dry up.
That's Bill Plaschke, LA Times sports columnist, ESPN Around the Horn contributor, and a member of the California Sports Hall of Fame. Went in with Al Davis, John Madden, Roy Firestone, and Ted Robinson. Nice. Roy Firestone. Help me learn how to interview. A couple of phone calls here. Andrew in Ohio. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Dan. First time, long time.
Yeah.
And in the grand tradition of DP show viewers and listeners, I'm stuck in bed recovering from surgery to repair a ruptured patellar tendon, watching on Peacock. Wanted to get your thoughts on, given the increase in unlikability of the Warriors, what do you think of, given it's just the kind of environment that we live in with the social media and the noise, if you take players from older generations, like even, I know it's not that old, but Jordan, and his, he would always kind of manufacture ways to motivate and have all of these grievances. If you placed him in today's NBA noise chamber, he would probably sound a lot like a Draymond Green, is what I'm thinking. Curious to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I don't know if Jordan would embrace social media. I don't know if he cared about having his voice heard. You know, Draymond Green wants to be heard. Draymond Green is not the best player on his own team, not the second best player on his own team. Maybe not the third best player on his own team now. But he is the most recognized, most talked about player on his own team. And he realizes how to use social media and that he's going to, you know, translate this into working for ESPN or TBS, TNT, it feels like. You know, he might even take Charles Barkley's place when it's all said and done. And I think he realized this year, maybe in the playoffs, where it's like, I can't be at the level that I once was. I can get there occasionally. How else can I help this team? And I think he was trying to be that instigator early. And that's where I said, just play. Don't do anything silly. Don't hurt your team. You can be at a high level. You still contribute. Got an incredible basketball IQ. Rebound, play defense. But it just felt like he was trying to be a character in a movie or a sitcom. And then you're going, you don't need to do this. And we saw. We didn't hear. We saw what happened in the last few games. He just went out there and played. And that's what I hope he's still able to do that, but he might know that, the end of the day, the end of the days is coming. Ken in Washington. Hey, Ken, what's on your mind?
Hey, DP. Couple of comments with regard to the real-time betting discussion you were having.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of issues, really. First is, I think the sports books are going to have a hard time managing the lines. So, say Zalatoris is going to make the putt, and it's whatever to one. On most traditional betting, you know, they've got a week to adjust those lines to balance the risk.
Yep.
It's going to be a really challenging thing for them to manage that risk when you get into real-time betting. I'd love to have you talked to one of the sportsbook experts to see how that happens.
Let's see if it does happen, but I do think we're headed in that direction, Ken. Thank you for the phone call. I don't know when, I don't know how, but that's next level. That's the next level when it comes to sports. It feels like is being able to gamble when you go to the arena, a football field. They'd have a club there that you could go and place a bet, like the Premier League, and real-time betting on certain aspects of – maybe you can't bet on everything, but it feels like you could bet on some things. Yeah.
Molly. Imagine the U.S. Open. Was it the 18th hole? Matt Fitzpatrick puts his drive into the bunker, and there were 6 minutes before he takes his next shot. Imagine you adjust the odds in real time. Can Matt Fitzpatrick – now would you bet on him to win or lose the Open based off him putting his drive into the bunker?
Yeah.
You got 6 minutes to bet on that. That's an eternity with your phone in your hand.
But the only thing is – with the LIV tour is there's no drama there. There was a U.S. Open at stake on the final hole from the bunker. Tough lie. He's got to get up and down. I mean, that's made for betting. And I don't know if the PGA Tour gets there. Maybe they want to get there before the LIV tour does. But to me, that's more interesting. If I'm watching Charles Schwarzel and, he's already making $5 million for the event, and he's got a putt here to win and win $4 million, that's not a big deal as a fan watching that. But when you have the U.S. Open on the line or the Masters Open, Masters or the Open Championship, Like, now we're dealing with legacies, immortality. There's more than just, oh, that guy's going to make 14. I don't even know what you make when you win some of these events. I sometimes see the prize money like $17 million. And the prize money is going to get bigger. And that's because of the LIV Tour and embracing the European Tour, the DP Tour. That is going to be part of the PGA Tour. More, a bigger component of the PGA Tour. The commissioner said this yesterday. But I don't know if you get to gambling. Does the PGA Tour want to get there to make it even more interesting, to have even more money involved in this for these players? But it just feels like we're on the cusp of real-time betting. Not sure what sport, but it feels like we're close to that. Todd has a SportsCenter tease that he has reminded me of for the last 3 hours, and I apologize that I wasn't picking up on your social cues.
You didn't.
And I didn't even realize, by the way, I got some Dodger fans who aren't happy that you have a Dodger jersey. Because you are sports washing your love affair with the Houston Astros. Yeah. I'm just telling you.
It's just a nice looking jersey, and I'm
just telling you. It's social media is coming after you.
You'll have to get over it. We had Bill Plaschke on. I knew he was going to talk about the Dodgers. I like to play dress up, depending on what guest we may have on the show.
You play dress up?
I do. I play dress up. This was one of the reasons I wore this. I have plenty of other things I could have worn.
Wow.
But I knew we were going to talk Dodgers and
I didn't know men played dress up.
Yeah, we play dress up too.
You look cute.
It's like Colorforms Barbie and all that stuff. This is my version of that.
How about we take a break and then we'll come back and then Fritz, you'll do a SportsCenter tease. And we get some phone calls. Last call for phone calls. Michael Wilbon on the program tomorrow, and the popular Nick Wright will be on the show as well.
That is right.
By the way, we thought we were having Jason Garrett on. He's now working for NBC, Football Night in America. He decided that he wanted to lay low until the season starts, and so I respect his wishes, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to him in August. Yes, Eden?
We should send him some Penny's Bang Biscuits.
Because he
clearly just bought a dog.
He bought a dog.
Wow.
No? I don't know.
I thought that was pretty good.
Now he's not coming on.
Yeah, we're not getting him now.
Yeah, we weren't anyway.
Oh, yeah, we were. Yeah, he'd
come. Because he just bought a dog.
I know. Thank you.
And he already has three dogs.
No. No. Mark Jackson never understood that. I'd always say, if you're afraid, buy a dog. And then he'd go, I got three dogs. I go, no, you don't want to have any dogs. That means you're
three times as scared
you're really afraid.